If you're a founder, you know that fundraising is a big part of the job. What you might not know is that Carta is there to help. Carta's new fundraising suite provides startups of all stages the best tools and support to easily issue SAFEs, accurately forecast dilution, and quickly close funding rounds. Save time, money, and make your next round your best yet. To learn more or to get started, go to carta.com/fundraise. That's carta.com/fundraise. Welcome to Inc's The Founders Project with Alexa Von Tobel. I'm Alexa, the founder of LearnVest, author of New York Times bestselling book, Financially Fearless, and second book, Financially Forward. I'm also the founder and managing partner of Inspired Capital, a venture firm focused on the entrepreneurs of the future. Each week, we sit down with a top founder to share their story of guts, inspiration, and drive. This week, meet Carolyn Childers and Lindsay Kaplan, co-founders of Chief, the network dedicated to connecting and supporting women in leadership. Chief was designed to bring more women into positions of power and keep them there. And Carolyn and Lindsay are two powerful women in their own right. Carolyn graduated from Harvard Business School and held leadership positions at Soap.com and Handy. Lindsay joined Casper pre-launch to lead brand and was named one of the most innovative CMOs in the world by Business Insider. A complete, fantastic duo. Welcome, both of you. We're so happy to have you here.
Thanks for having us. We're really excited.
Before we dive in, I just want to fully say that Inspired Capital is incredibly proud to be an investor in Chief, and I am thrilled to be a board member. So I sit here today both as a huge supporter in what you're building, but also somebody who clearly is incredibly inspired, no pun intended, in what you guys have built. So let's just dive right in. Let's start at the beginning. How did you guys decide to go embark upon this business? Talk us through the story kind of play by play.
I think the idea of Chief really came from a very personal place for us. We were both more senior women executives in the startup world, and we're just starting to realize how much time we were spending mentoring other people, managing our teams, and actually felt like we had no real investment into ourselves as leaders and no community for us to go to be able to build that. And it's a little bit ironic because it's also that time where you're becoming more senior. The decisions that you're making are so much harder and have such bigger consequence. Your work and life are becoming so much messier. And yet that's where you actually start to just feel this void of, well, how am I actually investing in myself as a leader? What's the community that is supporting me? And feeling like there was just a really big gap. And as we were kind of going through that personal journey ourselves, we're also coupling that with a moment in time where there was so much that was being put out there around women's representation in the workplace and all of the data that was coming out that, you know, we all felt, but was really illuminating for so many people over the last few years. And we kind of put those two things together and said, there needs to be something for a senior woman executive. And the idea of building a community that drives more women into the C-suite and supports them when they get there is just so important. And we believe change starts at the top, that us getting these women who are right on that cusp into positions of leadership and power where they can enact the biggest change is really the best way for us to start to tackle some of these things. And that was our thesis behind Chief.
I mean, you clearly had me at hello as a female executive juggling lots of things. And I obviously agree that change starts at the top. Let's first start just with the big vision for Chief, like in 5 years, in 10 years. What are you trying to build with this big company?
I think for us, there's something so powerful about a cross-pollination of power around all of these women that are in executive positions within all of their different companies to completely change the landscape of what it means for women in business. And obviously, we're starting by focusing on this senior executive at the VP level and above. But really, our biggest vision is how do we drive this impact more broadly and redefining what it means to be a woman in the workplace? And it's a really ambitious goal because you look at any of the data and it's daunting how many years it will take to get to a place of parity for women in the workplace. And we're just not willing to wait that long. And it's truly our ambition to be able to build a community that drives impact at a deeply personal level that allows for this really broad impact to occur.
It's interesting. You see more and more of that data. You see conversations about women in the workplace now more than ever. And yet those numbers haven't moved at all. So we really wanted to make a difference, and we really wanted to do it as quickly as possible, because we don't have the patience to wait decades, to wait generations to see equality in the C-suite.
So for everybody that's listening, we know that the numbers at the top for women in the workplace, C-level executives, CEOs, et cetera, are abysmal. Can you just give us a flavor of how bad they still are in 2019?
Yeah. So you look at just the CEO position, and let's focus in there. You are less than 10% women that are running companies. And we are so focused on seniority that we almost zero in on that statistic in and of itself, of like, that's the ultimate guidepost. We want, you know, the next president of the US to come out of chief. We want the next CEOs of these companies to be coming out of chief. So we kind of narrow in on that specifically. But you look even beyond just what is the representation of women in the workplace. You then look at the VC world, venture capital world.
And 2.6 to 2.9%.
Yes.
Obviously, that was one of the special things about us at Inspired Capital. We are not a female-focused venture fund. We just happen to have some smart females around the table. And it's rare that there's a female term sheet, especially for a company like Chief. That was crazy.
Yeah. So I think there's a number of different industries, functions, et cetera, that you can focus on. Our primary focus is, how do we drive more women into C-level positions, particularly CEO? And that's the metric that we're really, really focused on.
We really want to make sure we're not just driving them there, but we are keeping them so that they are not thrown off, so they don't feel like the board is against them, and that they have a support system, just like many people who are currently in C-level positions naturally have. We want to create something that gives them the support, that gives them the feeling and confidence that they have a network behind them and that they can do this, that we think is lacking right now on the highest levels.
And I would also just add into this, I think that we look at, obviously we look at women more broadly, but I think we are really focused on making sure that this is, it's a vetted community, but it is an inclusive vetted community. And one of the other statistics that we look at a lot is, we know women overall, but women of color, even within that, is like, it's abysmal. And you look at VP level and above women, and only 18% of VP and above women are women of color. So that's 5% overall. At Chief, we're over 30% women of color. So we're really focused on looking at these statistics more broadly than just a women-specific focus.
I want to talk more about the problem, because I think what's so powerful is just the fact that, I think you both have heard me say, you cannot unmarch the women's march. Like, we've marched. And like, come hell or high water, like, the numbers are going to change and women are not going to back down. And I think that's a really important turn that's happened in our society and in our country. In my mind, Chief is truly the first ever resource that is actually getting focused on changing that number. That abysmal 10% of CEOs in the country. Think about that, 10%, right? Less than 10% of CEOs in the entire country are women. And if you think about the stats below that at the C-suite, it just all trickles down from there. And you're the first company that's actually helping in a very practical and action-oriented way, helping change that number. Which, again, come hell or high water, this generation of women, millennial women, we are not looking back. What is Chief? So if somebody joins Chief, what is it exactly?
So it's a vetted network that is very focused on giving you the community and resources that you need to succeed at these senior levels. I can break it down very specifically into even the services.
Just for everybody that's listening, everybody that's going to want to get on the wait list, give us a sense of, you rolled out New York City. That's the first hub that you've really released. Give us a full sense of what that means as you eventually come city by city.
Yeah. So we talk about four key services that are a part of your Chief membership. The first that we talk about is really a grounding key element for us at Chief. It's what we call our core groups. It is a peer group model. I think way too often you bring women together, they get really energized, they're at an event, and then they disperse, and there's no ongoing support for somebody to really tackle the day-to-day and having a community to do that. The core groups brings together 8 to 10 individuals who are all curated by their level of responsibility to make sure that the people who are meeting truly understand the context of your problems. There's an executive coach in the room, and it becomes the place where you can truly tackle your biggest personal and professional, and it's important to say personal as well because we all know that that bleeds together. And it really becomes an amazing resource for you. That is by far the product that we lead with and the one we're seeing the biggest impact for people as they become a part of Chief. The second service is what we call our Salon Series. It is a host of events. And there's really two purposes there and two different types of events that we do. One is very workshop oriented. We talk about core groups as kind of being the place where you go and build your leadership mindset. And these workshops are the place where you can go and build your leadership skill sets. So anything from media training to negotiation to just a workshop on how to build and manage the best teams. And then the other side of Salon Series is those events that are just fun, where you can just meet the other women that are a part of the Chief community and maybe get access to an amazing speaker. So Whoopi Goldberg was at our launch event. Valerie Jarrett was there the other day.
We've hosted Lindsay Vonn, and we also really want men to be participatory as well. So Andy Cohen, who runs Bravo, has spoken to our members.
We even had a small private dinner with Mark Laurie. So lots of amazing people that are just coming in and building a great community there. The third service is that we actually have a clubhouse itself. So a network can be a very amorphous thing, but ultimately at our hearts, we are a network and want to be able to give that network a place to actually come together. So we have an amazing clubhouse down in Tribeca that members have access to on an ongoing basis. And then the fourth is the digital community, because all of those things are great, but they require you to be in person. And let's be honest, everybody is very busy and you need to make sure that you have those same resources at your fingertips. And it's just been amazing to see how much people are engaged and communicating and really helping each other outside of the four walls of Chief.
So now that we have a clear understanding of what Chief is, you get executive coaching, a core group, a more modern YPO, a clubhouse, a Salon Series, skill sets. Who pays for Chief and what does it cost?
Yeah, so I think you even referenced this before of a lot of those things, if you paid for them individually, executive coaching in and of itself is a $30,000 expenditure for a 6-month engagement. So the idea of us being, you know, anywhere from, you know, $5,000 to $7,000 for a whole year is actually a really great value for people. But on top of that, it's actually the majority of our members are actually sponsored by the companies themselves. So they view this relative to executive coaching as a great way to invest in their high performers. They look at what it costs to go to a conference. And in many cases, this is less expensive than that. And it seems like a great way to invest in women that are high performers and a goal that most companies have said, which is to drive more women into leadership positions. This is a way for them to actually go and support that and support the women that can actually go and bring that to fruition within their companies.
So you guys just raised a big round of funding. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So we just closed our Series A. It was a $22 million Series A. From what we've been told, it's the biggest Series A by female founders this year. So we're really proud of that. But more importantly, I think we're so excited about who that brings to the table with us. So it was co-led by General Catalyst and a fund you might be familiar with, Inspired Capital. And with that, we have Ken Chenault, who is the former chairman and CEO of Amex, joining the board. And you, Alexa Von Tobel from Inspired Capital, joining our board. And, you know, it's just a amazing, amazing group of people to be having the conversation with. Ken obviously comes from years of experience thinking about membership and how you build programs for people through that lens. Obviously, is a huge advocate for diversity and inclusion and everything that he has done. And you couldn't be more of an embodiment of, you know, the member that we are looking to create this change for, as, you know, an amazing entrepreneur yourself that is now about to embark on a whole new journey. Just the perspective of what it means to be the amazing women in the world that is making some of these changes. So we are thrilled by who is involved as part of our fundraise and what that allows us to go and do.
Well, I was honored to get to have a seat at the table, quite literally. So thank you. Walk people through kind of where you are in the business cycle. How many people are on the Chief team? What's going on with New York? How many members do you have?
I think we're closing in on 1,000 members in New York, and our wait list is now over 6,500.
Yeah. So we just launched in the very end of January. I would say it's actually more February. And as Lindsay said, already over narrowing in on that 1,000 mark just in New York City. That wait list that she referenced is not just New York City. That's in all the other cities of the U.S. and even some international. And so part of the reason why we wanted to go out and raise this capital is we saw so much demand for this product. We have been humbled and blown away by how much people have really engaged with it, both wanting to become members and then just how much people are giving us amazing feedback of the product itself when they're actually partaking, and realize that we need to get out there sooner. We're talking about these time horizons of trying to have this broader impact and getting more women into positions of power. And we feel like our way of contributing to that is trying to get to all of these other cities as fast as possible.
Yeah, to see the demand, to see how many more women than we had anticipated have joined Chief, have lined up to join Chief across the country, we are obligated to get there as quickly as possible if we truly want to have this impact and bring the community to as many women who want it, who deserve it as possible.
And with that, we'll be right back after this. Alexa here. Not only do I get the opportunity to speak with all types of founders on For Starters, but I'm a repeat founder myself. We all know how vital fundraising is to a startup. Carta knows this too. That's why they had founders in mind when they created their fundraising suite, providing tools and support to take the friction out of fundraising. They save founders time and money, allowing you to focus on your goals, not the admin work needed to close a round. From simply issuing safes to quickly receiving funds, Carta Fundraising Suite helps their cap table customers raise a better fundraising round. To learn more or to get started, go to carta.com/fundraise. That's carta.com/fundraise. I think one of the things that was really, I would say, a real moment for me was in one weekend, I had people, C-level executives at the New York Times, CIOs, chief investment officers of billion-dollar funds, texting me to ask me if I could help them, because I was an angel investor, get them off the wait list. And I remember just being like, wow, Chief has struck a chord. Something is happening. What chord do you think you're striking? How do you guys think about that?
I think this woman has been overlooked for so long. To know how much it takes to get into a position of power as a woman, what do we do when they get there? We say, now you have to mentor. Now you have to speak on panels. Now you have to go to conferences. Oh yeah, we're not actually going to support you. So all of these amazing, powerful women are stranded in a way, and they have even more obligations than their counterparts who are men because they made it and because they're successful. And I think there's been so much buzz and so much pressure about the pipeline that we haven't paid attention to women who truly deserve more support and truly deserve a network that they can continue to support each other and create lines of succession for women who are either below them or ranks below them to bring them up in a way that is sustainable for them. Because the thing that we have seen from these women and that I have personally felt is getting very scarily close to just pure burnout. And so it's not just that there's a lot of pressure. It's not just that the support system is lacking. It's that we've added so much more pressure on top of them that the more we can do to alleviate stress, the more we can do to create a support system, to create efficiencies in their life, I think the better that they will do at their jobs and the better that they will bring more women up with them.
I would say even just to add to that, again, you know, I was CEO of LearnBest as I was scaling a company, you know, at a young age and had a lot of work to do. I'd always been an athlete. So I was a diver in college and I always had coaches, always, right? It was like, if you're going to go learn something new, you should be able to work with people who are better and more advanced and can give you input and feedback. And if you think about it, being good at your job is really no different, right? A corporate athlete is a real thing. And obviously, you know, Carolyn, you went to HBS. They talk about that a lot. But essentially, in some ways, I just feel like what has become okay is that you're allowed to learn. We don't expect you to have all the answers. You are allowed to have access to an executive coach and a cohort of people who are juggling all the same things: negotiation, media training, skill set, politics dynamics, hard conversations. The first time I had to fire somebody, it was awful. Like, I mean, it was literally laughable. It was so bad. I just didn't know how to do it. And I think that being able to have an outlet to just get better at your job, it's just like training of anything else. And Chief happens to be solving the other problem around women, but that's so powerful.
And it's an outlet where you won't be judged. I think that this woman gets judged so harshly every moment of her life, whether it's home getting judged of how she's a mom, whether it's at the office, from what she's wearing to whether she is, you know, tough or she is compassionate. She is judged on such a different level that to be in a place where it feels like a no judgment zone, where she can truly take what she wants to get from the program, that's what makes Chief so special.
I would just add to it too. I think that there's something, we talk a lot about a principle for us of time travel, which is both mission oriented of wanting to get to a place where women have greater representation faster, but there's also time travel at a personal level for these women. They have a lot of things that they're juggling. And what's interesting about everything that you all have said is it's actually all of those things. What Chief does, it actually allows you to find one place to get a lot of things that you need as a woman. You want to keep learning. You know you need to be networking and continuing to meet people. We all know that part of what leads to success is the people that you know. You want to be able to have like real personal deep help about the situations that you're in right now. And right now for these women, those are all different places that you have to go and do that. And what has really resonated as you're talking to potential members is this actually cuts a lot out, that you can come to one place and get a streamlined way of getting all the things you need to go and succeed.
Somebody once said to me that the most important sign of success is not where you went to school, it's who you know and how much they like you. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, networking really is so important to your career. I mean, I certainly know it has been important to mine, but I think you're absolutely right. Chief combines all those things in one place.
Yeah.
Talk through a little bit about how you select your members and how you curate that list, knowing that, you know, you're already at close to 1,000. You have a wait list of close to 7,000 around the country. And these are just all through word of mouth. Like, literally people are piling up. But how are you going to curate to make sure that it is such a high quality experience for the members?
Yeah, I mean, I think the first thing is just the fact that we do have that wait list. We want to make sure that as people are coming in, that we as an organization are able to invest in that experience for you and bring on the right amount of people over this time while we're still getting established as a company, and make sure that we can invest in all of the people that are coming on. I think from there, you know, we talk about the fact that we are VP level and above, but we go through a lot of conversations with people to just understand exactly where they are in their careers. What true level of seniority are you? VP does not mean the same thing in all different companies. Who do you report into? How many people do you manage? How big is your budget? To really understand who are the people who really need this level of support given their level of seniority. And then the other side of that is just like, what are you looking to get and give to this community, and wanting to make sure that we bring on people. Lindsay likes to say,
I play by bachelor rules, which is you have to be here for the right reasons.
If you watch The Bachelor as a show, you will get that reference. If you don't,
I know there are listeners that are cackling right now, but we truly are looking for members who are here.
I'm a new mom. I haven't watched TV because I just fall asleep every time.
That's a good excuse. You are not here for the right reasons. But we are truly looking for members.
I will take that as homework.
Not needed. We're looking for members who truly want to better themselves, who want to be a part of the community, who are here to participate in those core groups, to really learn through empathy, to support one another, not necessarily come in and recruit people for their teams and make deals happen. That is an amazing side effect of having this network, and it is something that we are excited is growing. But we truly want people to be here not to necessarily self-promote, but to lift each other up.
And then I would say the final thing of how we think through it is through a diversity lens. And it's really important for us to have diversity of industry, diversity of perspective, diversity of backgrounds. And we really want to make sure that as we're looking at who's coming on in any given month, that we're building a community that really has broad perspective.
I think that's so helpful. And I think, Lindsay, it makes total sense that you want people who want to be there to learn, be vulnerable, grow. One thing I just want to say that just dawned on me through all of this is we've really turned this important corner, I believe, where women are just truly backing and supporting women in a way that I think is really important. And I also think that you're really changing that narrative around a woman who's tough or asks for what she wants or is not bossy. She's good at business. And I also think that that perspective is something that you are changing as you think about the brand of a woman executive. You are fundamentally representing and beginning to change. So Lindsay, you're a brand genius. You have done some really incredible things, won awards as an innovative CMO. Talk through how you think about the Chief brand. How do you verbalize it?
Sure. Well, when I was talking to Carolyn early about the idea of Chief, it actually reminded me of my early conversations with the founders of Casper, which is to say, when I heard the word mattress company, I kind of cringed, right? The word mattress has just such a gross connotation to it. And yet bedtime is magical and beautiful. And there was so much fun to be had in this world that no marketer I had felt like truly explored. Similarly, as I talked with Carolyn and I heard Women's Professional Network, I had this image of just a stodgy room full of people who didn't want to be there, holding up plastic cups of wine, name tags kind of like awkwardly placed nowhere good on your shirt. Mm-hmm. And I had this same impression of, oh my God, Women's Professional Networking could be the most powerful entity in the universe, bringing women together in a way that feels powerful and amazing and aspirational. And to think about changing the dynamic of what it means to be a powerful woman as we think about the tough fight that powerful women have as they go into politics, as they rise through the ranks of their company, it truly inspired me to rethink what it means to take on that word powerful, redefine it, and think through what is the opposite of powerful man? It's not that the opposite of blue is pink, right? It's not about gender. It is about creating a community of women who could come together and feel and truly do act as if they will change the world.
We're all clearly sitting here because it's 2019. Women are supporting women. The world is changing. One thing that was really, I think, stood out to me is that Chief in no way is anti-man. What it is how do we help create a society where women can get to the top? Mm-hmm. And that does have tons of other questions that come with it. You know, the fact that preschools are often like 7-to-1. How does that work? or that we still nurse babies. And there's tons of other things that we can't per se fix tomorrow that create specific juggles. And so I just wanted to say it was important to me that Chief wasn't anti-man. It was simply the world needs to understand a 5-to-10-year vision of when it's just equal. And that means all shapes and sizes, all diversity, all gender. Corporate America will be better for it. But how we get there isn't as simple as just fix the numbers. It's society has to evolve a bit. And I think Chief is practically doing that. So just tell us how you guys think that through. And, you know, you're literally rewriting the code for women getting to the top. So no pressure. How do you guys think that through?
I think it starts from a place where we allow women to be selfish, where we've created an organization where we want women to come in and, yes, be there and support everybody else within Chief, but feel like they've given themselves to their jobs, to their families, to everything going on, both in their personal and professional life, that this is truly a place where they don't have to feel guilty and they don't have to feel judged, but they can be selfish and make choices that are good for them in the moment.
Yeah. And then from, you know, men being involved in that, we obviously have a very specific point of view that change is not going to happen at the speed that we want it to happen if it is a conversation in a bubble. And so Chief is open to men to participate. If they follow those bachelor rules and are there for the right reasons, they can be a member of Chief. At the very least, in the meantime, we are actively bringing them in as, you know, participants in some of the other programming that we have. Lindsay referenced before that there were men that were coming in for some of the events, both as guests of members as well as, you know, people that are actually some of the speakers that we have. And even the idea of wanting to build a clubhouse where members can come and use that and congregate together, we also know that, like, it's a great place for you to just come and have a meeting, and you might be meeting with a man. And it's okay to have that happen within our four walls, because it, even in that small instance, opens up a conversation with that guy around, yeah, I'm a part of this organization, this is what it's about. And it, like, gives an additional touch point for him to just be thinking about this. So it's important for us to be really inclusive on that side.
We had a member dinner with Andy Dunn and Mickey Arnaval, the founder of Bonobos and the current CEO of Bonobos. And Andy said something, I'm going to butcher it and paraphrase it, so sorry, Andy. But he talked about when we truly get to a place of equality, it's not just that amazing women are in the C-suite, it's that mediocre women are there too. Because there are so many mediocre men, again, I'm paraphrasing Andy Dunn here, sorry, Andy, that have made it up through the ranks because of the old boys club, because of networking, because they have the confidence and seem like they'd be a really good person at the job, that when we actually hit equality, we have some not so great women who are also making it. And I thought that was amazing. We hold ourselves to such a different standard that we really want to get to a place where we are so equal that mediocre and some lazy women get there too. Thank you, Andy.
I want to shift gears and just ask, so you guys have been working on this for 18 months total. You just launched this January, which is crazy, the amount of progress you made. You've had a lot of pinch me moments through this. What do you think has been the coolest pinch me moment that you've realized about just how big this can be?
We should do a newlyweds game and each hold up our pinch me moment. I think I'll go first. I would say my pinch me moment was actually seeing my first boss when I moved to New York City and I was an assistant at a book publishing company. That woman who was a VP is now a CMO. She's absolutely incredible. And she joined Chief. And to see somebody that was so inspiring to me joining Chief and participating in that core group and coming to events, and it just felt so moving and inspiring. And I'm really thankful that she hired me and I could help her in her next step of her career.
That's amazing.
I think my biggest pinch me moment, there is a member that we have who is CEO of a very large company. And I'm going to give this example. It's not great for Chief because we kind of messed up and didn't send her like a proper invite for her core group, which we realized on Friday night. Her core group was supposed to happen on Monday morning. And we emailed her and had like a huge, I am so sorry. This is a very busy woman. She restructured her entire Monday because of how much she wanted to get to core. I think that to me was like the biggest pinch me moment of how much of an impact this is having for even somebody at her level, that it is that important for her to really go and be able to have this moment to connect with these other women and really get the support, that I realized we were building something really special. I will not say the name of said CEO, but it's somebody that probably before even starting Chief, I don't know if I would have even been in the same room with her. So I think it's a real big moment for us of just what we're building.
So I'm going to shift to a little bit of you guys. Obviously, what's amazing is you both are extremely hardworking, some of the hardest working women who are also have been executives in other companies and have personal lives. Talk through a little bit of, you know, what's it like? You just raised $22 million. You're, you know, heads down, running. What does balance look like? And why don't you start, Carolyn? Give us a sense of how are you making this all work?
Well, I would first like to apologize to every founder I ever worked for of ever giving them a hard time. I didn't realize how big of a difference it was going from even just a senior executive at a lot of these businesses into the founder position.
When you're the founder, you're kind of like the janitor. Like, yeah. Truly, like nothing fun comes to, it's always the hard stuff.
Yeah. And it's, you know, something I have always wanted to do. I don't think I could ever retire in my career and not have gone out and really wanted to start something myself after having been a part of so many different startups. But I definitely didn't realize the, you know, you're a senior executive at these companies and you're like, oh, I see the founder. I know what they're doing. I don't think you have a good understanding of how much it means to actually be a founder, co-founders of a business. So I think what's really amazing about Chief is that it actually gives us as two executives access to the same types of things that we're trying to create for our members. So we have a network of some of the most badass executive coaches of New York City that are now our deep friends and, you know, part of this community. And it's been really amazing to be able to even tap into the Chief community ourselves to help us create the balance and figure out how we navigate all of this. So we have this really amazing, unique ability to get extra resources ourselves as founders of a business for the first time.
Talk through a little bit of the quality of the executive coaches that you're bringing to each of these core groups and to your members.
Yeah. So I'd say on average, the executive coaches that we have, they have 10 plus years of executive coaching experience. Also, a ton of expertise in facilitation, because this isn't one-to-one coaching. This is a group conversation. And what's been amazing is that they're partners to us. So we're continuing to evolve. How do we make this even better? And these women who are, you know, the thought leaders of how we actually think about leadership development are partners with us as we continue to develop this. So it's been really great. And then again, from a personal side, it's really great to have access to executive coaches on an ongoing basis. I feel like every time we have a core group, I get a little mini pre-session of what I need.
That's actually so amazing. And I just realized that is such a wonderful benefit for you. Lindsay, you have a dog, you have a child, you're running around doing lots of things.
Flip the order. Child and a dog.
Yeah. I mean, you know, dogs are a lot of work too. Talk a little bit about you're literally living Chief.
Yeah, it's funny. The Chief community likes to talk about work-life integration, not work-life balance. For me, it is work-life stew. It is just like a hot, soupy stew and clumps of stress. It is all enmeshed. It all melds into itself. And it certainly adds another layer of complications to life as a founder. I kind of abide by two internal rules. One is to torpedo gender roles, stereotypes, and expectations that are, I think, getting in the way of me as a working woman, that I lean on my husband, I lean on the partners in my life to help with my family so that I can devote as much as I can to my company as well. The other rule I follow is to not feel guilty. You should see me in front of a cake. I do not feel guilty. I have an amazing son who I want to raise as a child who is so proud that his mother is working. And I think feminism starts with amazing boys and amazing men who are supporting the women in their life. And Carolyn has to deal with a lot of my stories about what it is to be a crazy mom.
I love
a lot
it.
Of great pictures, too.
I mean, the photos are fantastic. So at some point, it's clear you guys will have a lot of responsibility about helping be a voice for what we're calling the rewiring of the American workplace. How do you guys think a little bit about the future of work?
I think that there's a ton of trends that are happening, some that are very relevant to the world of Chief, some that aren't. You know, I think in general, you're seeing a much greater dispersed workforce and people who are doing freelance work, people who are working for a company but doing it from home. And it ties into what we're doing at Chief in that because you're so dispersed, that used to be a community for you. That workplace used to be the place where you would go and build a bunch of connections, and that was your network. One, I think your network needs to be broader than just the company that you're in. But now that those trends are happening where that's not being created naturally through the workplace, there needs to be communities that are happening other places. And I think that Chief is really tapping into that need for new types of community. I think some of the older ways, whether it be through the workplace, whether it be through country club models, which I think are becoming outdated even, like there needs to be a new place for community to actually take place. So I'd say like that's one big trend that I see within the workplace. Obviously, the second one that I would talk about is women in the workplace and how companies actually support women in the workplace. And the conversations around that are really important, but it's why we're focused on a more senior professional woman to be able to give her the resources to be that champion within her company to drive that broader change. And as you said, rewire and create new policies and procedures and all of those words that feel way too technical for what really needs to happen, but really needs to change the dynamic for women on their day-to-day and all the challenges that come with being a working mom.
And I think to zoom out, we really need to reevaluate how we treat parents. Because if we treat moms differently than dads, moms will continue to be promoted at a much slower rate. So we really need to look at parental leave policies. We need to look at the way we are treating flex time for parents and starting to treat people equally in terms of the way we look at them as parents and working adults.
The thing I, again, have admired the most about what you both have been pouring into Chief is it is truly the first company that is practically closing the gap of getting women to the top, which is giving women the outlet, the tools, the networks, the community, the skill sets to be able to continue to climb the ranks so that we can get to a better society for everybody, which is a pretty beautiful thing to go to work every day. And I can only imagine the number of people wanting to apply to work for you guys because of how big that vision is. So well, are you hiring?
I love that you asked that question because yes, we are hiring. I think, you know, when Lindsay and I launched in January, we are now where we thought we would be at best by the end of 2019. So in order for us to really fulfill the demand and the excitement that we're seeing from all of the women that are joining Chief, we need to make sure that we have the best team. And you talk about that mission. That is a lofty mission. It's a huge goal. We are so focused in on it, but we need the best team around us to be able to go in and do that.
I have tried and failed to build a time machine in the back of Chief's office. It's not going that great. And so in the interim, until we can speed up progress, we are looking to hire amazing people who can help us reach that goal as quickly as possible.
So when you are interviewing those people, what's your favorite interview question that helps you really get to the core of what you think matters for somebody becoming a chiefer?
I think there's a very classic, you know, strengths, weaknesses thing that everybody always does when they are interviewing somebody just to get to know them. I think that there's a really clear, like, force of it of if you could just say, like, what is the one superpower that is, like, makes you different from everybody else in the world? And it actually forces them to put a little creativity around it. It can't just be I'm hardworking. Everybody will give that answer. Like, what makes you truly unique? What is your superpower that nobody else has? I think that's the one that always tells me the most in the answer to it. It's not always the most fun, but it's the one that I think is most enlightening for me.
Lindsay.
Are you a dog person or a cat person? Okay. I think it truly depends on the individual, the conversation, the role they're applying to. I do like to ask about time travel. I like to ask about if I hire you, how does this company move faster? Clearly, that is my superpower, is that I would not go invisible. I would move through time. And so I really want to know from people, especially at an early stage startup, how they can time travel.
I love it. I love how obsessed you guys are with time travel. So we're going to end on one thing where you get to pay it forward to somebody else. You each get to name one startup that you think is super special that we maybe haven't heard about or that our listeners haven't heard about.
It's probably one that maybe people have heard about. I would say The Wonder. I think that they have very similar ethos to us in creating a space that allows for a really amazing, exceptional experience. Obviously, it's focused more on parents and their children, but I love what they have been doing to just redefine some of those moments. And I think there's amazing tie-ins that as we, you know, have had conversations with them as founders, I think that there's a lot of overlap in the way that we think about things. And They happen to be neighbors right down the road from us down in Tribeca. So I'm just really inspired by them as two founders. I think they're going to do amazing things and are on the road to a really successful business.
Carolyn and Lindsay, first, so excited to have you both here today. You are not only creating a really special company, but one that I think is really empowering to society. And not all companies get to say that. So we're so grateful. If you guys listening want to learn more about Chief, head to www.chief.com and join the waitlist. And then join us next week for Inked, the Founders Project with Alexa Von Tobel. Thank you guys so much for being here.
Thanks for having us. This was great.
Thank you all for listening. You can subscribe to Inked, the Founders Project with Alexa Von Tobel wherever your podcasts are offered.